Hey there, and welcome to the Corporate Side Hustler Podcast. And I am your host, Lisa Rigoli, HR manager by day, Instagram manager by night, a wife and a mom of two beautiful girls. Now, in 2014, I walked away from the dream job I worked 9+ years to get to. And here's the deal. I said no to this opportunity because I knew in my gut, I no longer wanted to climb the corporate ladder, but I wasn't ready to leave the corporate world. So I created this podcast channel to support you busy women to maximize your time while juggling all the things. Each week, my guests and I are sharing how you can attract, nurture, and connect with your ideal audience with intentionality without spending countless hours online. We get the struggle of the juggle, and we want to remind you that you can build and run a profitable side business while working your demanding day job. Thanks for tuning in. Now, let's jump into today's episode. Hey, Lisa, welcome to the show.
Hi, Lisa. I love that we have the same name.
Seriously. How are you doing, my friend?
I am doing well. I'm really excited to be recording this podcast with you. I think I already told you this is my first, but I am really honored that you chose me as one of your guests.
I love this is your first episode that you're recording. And I think that what you're going to be sharing with my audience is so needed. So it's an honor for you with me. Like what you're doing for me and my team is amazing. It's because we all need to hear this message. So with that said, Lisa, will you share a little bit about who you are, what you do, and why you do it?
Yep, absolutely. So I am a minimalist mom of three who has developed a method for helping busy people with decluttering their homes and spaces. And I'm also extremely passionate about minimalism and capsule wardrobe. So it doesn't just stop with the decluttering. I just really feel like that's kind of the source of it all.
Love that. And will you be sharing the ages of your three?
Oh, goodness, if I can remember.
Mommy brain stays no matter what age the kids are. So you're in good company.
I know. My oldest two just turned, one turned 7, the other one turned 10. And then I also have a 1-year-old.
I knew the ages roughly, but I was like, I wanted to share that with the audience just because you truly are juggling a bunch of different things right now, especially from the age ranges of your kids. And I think it's important for people to hear that because you're coming from a place of, I truly understand what it's like to be a mom, what it's like to have this side business, what it's like to have the day job, and how really the topic that we're going to dive into, how clutter can really throw you off in your game when it comes to that. But before we dive into the topic, I was curious, like what was it for you that sparked your interest, sparked your passion to become more purposeful and intentional around the things around your house and become a minimalist?
Honestly, I think it started with having kids. And the reason why I say that is because it's one thing to have your own stuff and your own clutter. But when you throw kids into the mix, and really it was when I had my second child, you accumulate a whole lot more, right? Because you have all their clothes, their toys, their gadgets, their, you know, the things that you need to take care of them. You got a breast pump all of a sudden, like cribs, everything just thrown into the mix. And you've gone from just your stuff to almost doubling or tripling the amount that's in your home. So it really started there. And I noticed that I had really bad anxiety and I had postpartum depression after having my second. So I was really in this period of, it was kind of like a self-help type of discovery mode where it's like, what are the things that can help me with reducing my anxiety and my depression and identifying the things that were not helping, but rather hurting, right? And so one of the first things that I had heard about was a book called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. So many folks might have heard of Marie Kondo or the KonMari method, yeah, right? Or even the show Tidying Up on Netflix. And it's her book. And that's basically where it started. I listened to the audiobook in like 2 or 3 days on my commute because who has time to read when you have two kids? And I just became motivated as hell to all of a sudden remove all of the crap in my home, I guess you could say. You know, I was just so tired of seeing all of our belongings piling up. I mean, if you would have seen the before pictures of just what was supposed to be my dining room, you'd be like, oh yeah, yeah, we need to get it together.
The only reason why I feel like I don't even need to see it, I can visualize what it looks like, is because I'm still in that right now. And I'm sure a lot of people that are listening to it are in it, because you are so spot on. Like when you have your first child, let alone your second, you're like, oh, I'm just going to get these few things that I need to take care of this kid, take, make sure that they are living and they're healthy, et cetera.
Yep.
And we actually were very big on, don't send us anything. Like we have these key five or six things that we believe we need to just, you know, tote around, et cetera. And you'll have some family member, some friend, I love all of you, if you guys are listening to this, will send you this random thing. And you're like, all right, well, what do I do with this? Because if I throw it away and they come by and they want to see it, and stuff would just start piling and piling and piling. So I truly know what the dining room setup looks like for you in the past, because it's probably what my dining room looks like right now.
Oh yeah. It, actually, I ended up getting rid of my dining room table because it was not being used as a dining room table. It was being used as where we stored our mail and all these, this was a catch-all. And it's kind of like, well, if I get rid of this table, then I get rid of this clutter.
Did you also change it into like a playing area? Or I feel like I saw something where you changed your space that would have been also a junk area. Like you turn it into a more conventional type of setup, because you're like, hey, it's now collecting this. I'm now removing this and putting something else there so that way we don't make it the junk area, but we're also converting it. And I think this is a good area just to kind of segue for a little bit. Am I remembering that correctly?
I have done that in several instances where it's, yeah, if I notice that a space is collecting things, then I try to be more mindful and more purposeful as to why is that occurring, right? And how can I prevent this from happening? So it's, you know, maybe having something that has a shelving unit where you can actually close it so you don't see the clutter, which is not the, is not how you really fix the problem, but at least it kind of prevents people from just putting things on top of stuff.
Okay, that is helpful. So I know we're going to dive into a little bit of what that looks like in a moment. But one of the things I want to just say, and I appreciate, because I don't think we talk about this often, whether it's with friends or sometimes on social media, is that postpartum is a real thing. And yep, it comes in different waves and for different people. And I love how you also shared it happened with your second child. Some people are like, I didn't have it with my first, I had it with my second, or I didn't even have it until my third child and so forth. And I think we're going to talk through five specific things around how we can be more intentional with the clutter and how we can be more purposeful and intentional with our space. But one of the key things that we wanted to kick off talking about is how the clutter can actually impact your mental well-being.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you want to share a little bit about what that means to you? And let's, yeah, go from there.
Yeah. I mean, I've just discovered through the act of decluttering that one, it's therapeutic. I know most people are like, cleaning's not therapeutic to me. And it's not to me either. Like, I will be totally honest, I hate to clean. Decluttering, though, makes it so much easier because there's less that you have to clean. So I'm like, I like that part of it, right? So it's like, right, how can I clean less? I'm a lazy person. I'm not even gonna lie about this, right? So how can I make cleaning easier and take less time? And not to, you know, blow my own horn, but there was a point in time where I could afford a home cleaning service, right? But they were coming in and they have to clean around a mess. And it's like, what's the point of that when they can't really clean certain areas because I have junk piled on it? And then I have to clear that space so that they can actually clean it. So I'm just trying to find all of these different solutions for how can I make my life easier, right? And I felt like I was a part of the problem instead of helping to solve the problem.
Right, right. It, what's coming to mind for me, and I wonder if you can relate, is that Jay and I, my husband and I, are in a very unique situation where because of COVID, we now truly both work from home. And we've now had to convert certain spaces in the house that weren't meant to be offices, they're now our offices. So right now Jay works downstairs, so he's kind of in the living room area, if you will. And I'm in our reading room in our bedroom. So I share that because we're occupying other areas. And we, on the days, especially if you know what that demanding job is like, we were actually just joking before we hit the record button where you can have a well-manicured day and then someone's gonna find that one 15-minute window that you have and they add it. And now before you feeling stressed, you're feeling kind of anxious because your day was a mess. But if your surroundings is also cluttered, we always say it intensifies our anxiety. You feel like we're on edge and we'll start cleaning up and we're like, holy cow. We spent 15 minutes to clean up and we already naturally feel better. Like we don't feel this pressure because it's like we feel like we're going to explode a little bit because it's just such an intense day. Then our kids are in that stage where they drop to the floor and they start crying. And then the house just feels like something blew up. But it's in those moments where we just take a minute and pause and we're like, let's clean up, that we're like, holy cow. Did it just get lighter? Yep. So I don't know if that's also what you're sharing around the cleaning service piece of like, just the cleaning wasn't as effective because they had these areas, but when you are cleaning, it does impact your mental health.
Yeah. I mean, when there's less clutter around you, you automatically have this mental clarity. You can focus better. Like you said, you're not thinking about, oh, this mess is driving me nuts. Cause that would happen to me, right? I'd wake up in the morning and I'd look across at what used to be my desk in my room. I've since removed it. But yeah, I would wake up and I'd instantly become anxious and upset because it's like, oh, this room looks a mess. I don't want to be in this space. I should be at peace in my room if in any other place in my home, right? And for that to be the first thing that I see when I wake up, that's not a good start to your day.
At all.
These are the things that I discovered when I was doing the research and was on that self-help discovery journey of my life, right? That these are ways that could help you to get more control of your life, make you feel less anxious. I always like to use the analogy of when you go on vacation and go to a hotel, what's the best part of the hotel, right? You have just the things that you need in there. They don't have all of these gadgets and doodads. You know, it's not full of clutter. It's a nice, clean space. And you feel more at peace there than you do at home. You get home and you're like, what the fuck? Like, why do I feel like I just went from a great, calm place to a tornado?
That's such a good visual for us to really like hone in on that, because we're sharing some really good examples of what that feels like for us in our homes. But you're spot on. Like when we go to a hotel, I share often on stories, I travel a lot for work. And one of the reasons why sometimes I do look forward to it, not because I don't love my family, like I want to be here too. It's what you just said. Like I walk in, I have my suitcase. Everyone teases me too. When I travel, I only have one suitcase regardless of how many days I'm staying. And it's because the hotel set up in a way that I don't feel the need to unpack and fill up the closet. I don't feel the need to go into the bathroom and unpack everything. I have just the right amount of things I need to get going. And there is something really refreshing because it always feels clean. You could see the surface of the bed, the desk, the TV stand, like it's nice. It's welcoming. So yeah. I think this is hitting home to what you've researched on your own as you're working with clients, that this is a real thing. This is a real thing that can impact your mental well-being. And I know that you have a couple of things that we can really think through to help us get through this. Cause I also appreciate that you were being honest. You're like, hey, I don't like cleaning. Like I don't wake up saying, oh, I want to clean my house. But I love that you have some things that we can be thinking of to be more intentional with the clutter.
Yeah. One of the first places most folks think to declutter or like to declutter is their closet. And I know we did this as teenagers. I mean, hanging out with our girls, right? Think about how many outfits you went through before you settled on one to go out, right? And then what ended up happening, your clothes were all over your bed. And you ended up going with the outfit that you typically choose, right? And it's kind of like, we have all of these clothes in our closet. We feel like we never have anything to wear, yet then we always gravitate towards the same thing every time, right? So it started there. That's where I felt like that was the first step in the Claude Marie method, is to deal with your closet and your clothes. And I cannot tell you, like, it looked a hot mess in my room when I gathered everybody's clothes in one place. I mean, just my clothes. And I'm sitting here telling myself, I don't have any work clothes. How can I ever get ready in the morning? I think I had over 20 pairs of dress pants alone. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, okay, maybe I'm lying to myself. Mind you, some of them just didn't fit me anymore, right? I'm a mom of two now. I have things from when I was in college. I don't fit those things anymore. Why do I have 10 pairs of heels, which I never grab for anymore? Because I'm not going out and I'm definitely not carrying a car seat with heels on.
100%.
People evolve, right? Your life changes. So can your closet, right? The things that you gravitate towards, the things that all of a sudden are your desires, your needs, and your wants, right? People's style changes. It doesn't mean that we need to hold on to these things, but we do. We hold on to them just in case we don't have something to wear, you know, to a party, but then we end up grabbing the thing that we most love, right?
You're hitting on so many key things, because either you go to the go-to thing that you always wear, or if, and maybe I'm putting myself on blast right now, or you end up buying something else. So now I'm adding back into the mix as opposed to acknowledging the things that are there.
Yep.
But I honestly, my husband tells me all the time, he's like, why are you getting new stuff? Why aren't you just using this? I have a weird attachment too. Like, I almost feel like I can't let something go because I've associated something with it.
So let me ask you a question. Are you associating the amount of money that you spent or the event that you wore it to?
This is a great question. So I think what you just shared about, hey, like some of this is either from college or this is from the fact that as we've had kids, our body shifts. So there are a couple of things where I was a certain size, call it right before kids or right after my first daughter, that I don't want to let go of it because in my mind, I'm hoping I will eventually get back to that weight and that go-to outfit that I wore then will be my go-to outfit now. But it's now been 3 years. And it's still sitting in my closet collecting dust.
I did the same thing, but it wasn't until I took inventory of what I had. And like I was saying, I had so many pairs of the same type of clothing article that I realized I have enough. Even if I were to only walk away with 5 work pants, I wear work pants, I wear work dresses, I wear work skirts. That's more than enough to rotate. Right? And then most people only work 5 days a week. So we really have more than what we actually need and what we actually reach for.
You shared that typically we go to the closet. Is it because the closet is the right place to start? Or is it because our minds just for some reason want to declutter that first?
You know, what sparked my minimalist journey was the Cone Marie method and decluttering my closet. I know that for most people, they have sentimental attachments to their clothes, and sometimes they have so many clothes and shoes. Really, that's not the best place to start if they're trying to reduce the overwhelm of wanting to get started. And I don't know if that makes sense, but it's like if I see this task as being so overwhelming that I'm always going to keep putting it off, that I'm never going to get to that first decluttering session, then it's not really effective. Right? I would start with one of the easiest places, a junk drawer, right? Something that takes 10, 15 minutes to declutter so that you can one, see the effects, two, just like with most things, to get really great at something, you have to practice. You have to do it more than once. And a lot of these solutions like the Cone Marie method are pretty extreme. So if you have the time to do it, like I literally had to shoo everybody out of my house for an entire day to do that. And not everybody has that luxury. I don't now, right? Especially with a 1-year-old. So
yeah. So I like that. If you are not attached or if there's not this overwhelmed feeling at the thought of starting decluttering in your closet, then start there. But if you're noticing that there's an overwhelmed feeling and that you're now pushing it off and you're now finding excuses as to why you can't do it, your recommendation is to start with a junk drawer. So if we start that, hey, my audience is beginners and we are looking first to, hey, let's reduce the overwhelm. Let's do something easy, a quick win. Let's do junk drawer. What would you recommend that process look like to get us going and moving into this clutter-free process?
I was actually going to say that's actually part of my whole decluttering method that I had developed and developed a course for is how to do easy and quick decluttering in short sprints. So basically, just to kind of hit on the quick points of how you would do that is schedule, you know, 15 to 30 minutes when you have some time, set a timer. I like to turn on some really fun music. I mean, the music that you'd want to listen to at the club or, you know, that you would dance to, something fun to make it fun, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And there's something about a timer. And if you're competitive, and you like to race, I feel like that's what I'm constantly doing. Like, I got to get done before this timer runs out. So it makes me really make less emotional decisions because it's like, I have to make this decision before the timer runs out. Otherwise I didn't succeed. It's kind of silly, but
I actually appreciate how, and I love that there's a course tied to this. We'll talk a little bit about your course in a second, because I love the fact that you're simplifying it and you're making it fun. As busy women, and I do have some dads out there that listen to my podcast, as busy parents, we have all the things that we're juggling. If we don't make this fun, it becomes that other thing we have to do. So I love that you're like, hey, just do a timer. And you said 15, 20 minutes. You didn't say for an hour. You didn't say for a couple of hours. 15, 20 minute sprints. You can get super competitive. And what's the music that you know that you can get down and have fun and dance? Maybe you're like, I don't want my neighbors to see my dance moves. That's okay.
Right.
Because then you're going to get in that groove, right? And you're going to be like, I don't know, whatever the song's going to be. I already have one in my head playing, but to me, I love this and it makes me feel energized to do the thing.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. And you look forward to doing it when it's something fun and it's not something that's going to take a lot of time. And through this, you realize, you know what? It took way less time than I thought it was going to.
So set a timer, 15 to 20 minutes, put on a fun music and make it happen. What yep. I would love for us to dive into, because knowing you and watching you on Instagram, you include your kids in on a lot of the things that you do.
Yep.
Do you have any routines that you do to ensure that your kids are helping with that kind of short sprint on the surface level type things? That's like a routine for your family or anything you can recommend for us that are like, we need to get our kids involved too, because they need to get some routines. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely always try to incorporate my kids into it and try to get them into this mindset of you don't need a lot of stuff to one, feel successful, and to have a fulfilling life. There have been times where I'll, you know, tell them, hey, we're going to go through your toy chest and I want you to pick out all of the stuff that you want to keep. And I'm always blown away at how little that pile is. And I'm like, are you sure? Yeah. I only want these things. And then there are even some items where I'm like, no, we need to keep this, right? Or I try to identify things that I know that they play with. But other than that, it's like, okay, we're getting rid of the rest. We're going to donate it. And they don't even bat an eye. So there are, situations where I get them involved. Sometimes, like, even just with cleaning, I might set a timer and say, hey, we're going to all clean at the same time for 10 minutes. And it makes them feel like, okay, it's not a long time. And we get way more done than they probably thought we would. I've done my 30-minute decluttering sessions with it. That's what I call them, with them. Obviously, I help them because they're kids and they don't know the method down to a science. And, you know, obviously you have to help them. I probably even have to help some adults, right? But it gets them into this mindset of evaluating what they have and making decisions as to whether they want to keep it or not. And I'm telling you, I'm always shocked at even their artwork. They're like, no, I don't want that anymore. And I'm like, okay. It makes me really proud.
It should. It's very rich in your household. That makes me happy to hear. So Lisa, you shared such good information from how it impacts our mental well-being to like, how can we tackle this in a way that's doable, in a way that's fun, in a way that's truly sustainable.
Yep.
Curious, how can my listeners learn more about you, learn more about this course? What's the best way for them to get connected with you?
They can follow me on Instagram at myclassiccloset.co. And I also have a decluttering course that is hosted on Teachable. It's linked in the bio of my profile. And I designed it for busy people. Like, you'll see courses out there that are maybe 2 to 3 hours long, have 15 worksheets. And it's like, oh, wonderful. I'm spending a lot of money, so I'm getting a lot of stuff. But if you're already busy, when do you have the time to watch the course or listen to the course? When do you have the time to print out and fill out these worksheets, right? So mine is very streamlined and cuts to the chase. I think the decluttering video is 25 to 35 minutes long. So it's something that you can really just listen to on a commute, right? And then I have a few worksheets that really help you to figure out how to implement this solution and this method in your home and turn it into a routine.
I like that. So both of those links will be in the show notes. So you can either click on the link to follow Lisa on Instagram if you want access to that course. You can also click on that link below. And I hopefully you guys are picking up on it. You know, when I bring my guest speakers, I'm bringing people that truly are open to questions, open to connecting. If you slide into Lisa's DMs, she is going to answer your questions and learn more about you on the personal level. So you will not regret it. Lisa, I think it would be cool to end on a kind of like a fun maybe thing to talk about. What's your favorite place to declutter and why?
Oh my goodness. This is probably a hard one because it depends on whether I'm decluttering it for my own mental peace or because company's coming over. I probably enjoyed decluttering my pantry, which is the last thing that I decluttered recently. And the reason why is because it was the space in my home that I probably go into most often. I do like to eat, right? But you know, you go into your kitchen very often. If you're a mom, you're probably fixing food for your kids all the time. And it was the one place that I probably ignored for the longest. But now that I have decluttered it, and I did it one shelf at a time. I mean, I split it up into projects, but I got it done within a week. And it's been life-changing. Everything goes back to where it belongs. My kids now know where things are supposed to go because they have a designated area. And pat myself on the back, I didn't have to buy any new organization bins or anything like that. And I think that that's, you know, people think that they need to go out to the Container Store, to Home Goods, all these different places to or Target, buy organization baskets, bins, what have you, in order to declutter or organize. First of all, decluttering is different from organizing, right? Decluttering is getting rid of and identifying the things that you love, need, want, use, right? And only keeping those things. And organizing it is putting it into its place, giving it a home. So I always say, start with decluttering first, then organize. If you can do both at the same time, that's wonderful, but start with the decluttering first, even if you don't have the organization, because it'll make it a lot easier to organize. Why would you want to buy 20 baskets and bins when you end up only having enough to fill up 10?
Exactly. Right?
Exactly. You just wasted your money, honey.
You wasted your money. You're now creating more reasons to fill up that area because now you feel the need to fill up these organizational bins. So well said, well said. Well, Lisa, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for sharing this information and just reminding us that it can be simple and easy, as well as it just helps us with our overall mental well-being, especially as we juggle all the things. So thank you, my friend.
No, thank you so much for having me. I really love talking about this topic. Like Lisa said, feel free to reach out to me. Like I said, I'm really passionate about it. I love helping people. Yes, I have a decluttering course, but I would be willing to answer questions outside of that as well.
Thank you for that, Lisa.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, here's what I want you to do. Take a quick screenshot of you listening to the Corporate Side Hustler podcast and upload the image to your Instagram stories and tag me in it at The Corporate Side Hustler. I would love to hear from you and connect with you on Instagram. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'll see you the same time next week. Until then, enjoy the rest of your day. Bye for now.